This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Oh, welcome everybody to this week's edition of the Orange Bloods Modcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, joined almost by the entire Orange Bloods crew. Dustin McComas will join us shortly. He's incapacitated doing some drop and dime stuff, but Alex, Anwar, Jason, they're all here. The our little fivesome will eventually be together on this podcast, fellas. I was thinking about this literally before we got on this Zoom call to record this pod. What do we talk about? What's there to talk about?
Go straight into the K-State breakdown.
Yes. Who did you favor in the matchups? No, it is. No, I would cut you off before you even started there.
Yeah.
This is the first time all of us have gotten together on a podcast and like had a jam session about what's going on in what, regardless of how this, I think, turns out, I think it will be remembered as one of the more infamous weeks in the history of orangebloods.com. We've been around for 20 years. I think, however it ends, the pursuit of Urban Meyer is going to be as remembered, even more so than the Nick Saban stuff, because the Texas plane never got off the ground to go to Tuscaloosa back in the day. We know now that this is happening behind the scenes, that there are conversations taking place, that Urban Meyer is in a position where ultimately he just has to make a decision about what he wants to do and whether or not Texas is the place he wants to do that at. And, you know, I did an interview in Nashville earlier today to try to describe the sudden energy that's been injected into the program. It's kind of scary, Anwar, because the stakes are so high. Like, they get Urban Meyer. We were having a Yak meeting yesterday, and it was like, anything's possible when that happens. There are so few coaches like Urban Meyer that are historically separate from their competition. And there aren't many. If you go through, I don't know that there's any currently in Major League Baseball. Like, I struggle to think in the NBA, like, ultimately Pop might be the greatest coach of all time, but you're only as good as your players. College football is unique because the coaching really matters. And I'm just a little as excited as I am for the fan base on war. I am concerned that this still feels like a 50 proposition to me. And if it lands on heads, everybody gets drunk and has a great time. If it lands tails, everybody gets drunk and goes into a stupor. Like, I don't know. Like, this is fascinating to me that here we are. We've talked about it for so long, but now we're in this moment and the stakes just couldn't be higher.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting because it's the two sides of that coin, right? It's, for me, it's like, all right, let's see what happens over the next week or 2 weeks, and between now and that Sunday after the Kansas game, you know, potentially at the latest. But you know, there are some things that that you outline in your report this morning about, you know, there's some real health concerns with Urban Meyer, and you know, for that he has and that his family has, and that they feel like he's doing good and living well. And so, I mean, I think there's this assumption that Texas fans has that's like, well, we're Texas. I mean, why wouldn't he want to coach here? Come on, Urban. Like it's a done deal. Like, and you know, people are acting and making this out to be a done deal. It's just a matter of time. You know, you pick the date that Urban's going to get fired and go from there. And I mean, Tom Herman gets fired and go from there. But we still don't know. We don't know if he's going to be convinced to come out. We don't know. Look, I did the NFL, and you know, there was a time, Ketch, and you guys remember this, all you guys will, that you know, John Gruden was rumored to become to come out of coaching and coach at Tennessee, and that was the rumor, like, oh my gosh, John's gonna come to Tennessee, and whatever, what happened was John just got a pay bump from ESPN and he stayed in the booth. And so I don't know if Urban is this is just a way to stay relevant. And then he gets a bump from Fox and goes, yeah, I'm good. I'll just wait, you know, for that, you know, another time or opportunity. So my concern for Texas fans is getting their hopes up too high and then this potential letdown. I'm not I'm one of those people. I don't want to ever get too high or too low. I just want to stay even keeled. And that's my only concern is like, all right, it's not a slam dunk. It's not a done deal. Let it play out. But that, you know, that is almost impossible. I mean, that it's 1 o'clock in a club, and that's like telling everyone they should go home because they're not ready to go home.
Austin has joined us now, and which means we've got all of the Avengers are together. We were waiting on the Hulk. And which Avenger are you? I don't want to call you the Hulk. Which one? You get to claim one, Dustin. Who are you?
Black Widow.
Did you say the Black Widow? In your buddy dreams. Good question. Spider-Man, maybe? Kind of Spider-Man. Isn't he an Avenger?
Like young Spider-Man, right? Isn't it like the younger version? Isn't that who Tony Stark invites in? It's not like the established Spider-Man. It's the kid Spider-Man. That's okay. You have to shave the beard, though.
Oh, no, that's not happening. That's
does he also have to become black also, right?
Yeah, then there's that, yes.
Okay.
But in the Avengers, that's the new Spider-Man.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but I like that Spider-Man. That was pretty cool. That was a fantastic concept. No, real quick, yes or no, and I'll start with you, Dustin. Urban to Texas, is it going to happen? Let's just get it out of the way now. Yeah. Let's just get it out of the way now.
I think there's very much realistic opportunity it happens.
All right, Dustin, your connection sucks. So I'm going to pretend that you just didn't give that answer because I didn't hear hardly any of it.
We didn't hear you at all.
Yeah. Just FYI. Like, it wasn't just,
I don't even know if he answered yes or no.
I think I heard 40 something in 40 at one point. So he's either
was that a
40
niner?
Ounce or 40%. I don't know.
I think I heard a niner in there. So let's, we're going to start this all over again because Jason, I'll start with you. Yes or no? Don't ramble in a way that we can't hear you like Dustin just did. What's your gut tell you today, right now?
I'm feeling yes. You guys know me. Last night I sent y'all some Slack messages. I'm stalking these flights and buying into that stuff to some degree. It's too big of a coincidence today that there are flights scheduled, and I haven't even looked at it this morning, but I'm assuming they're still scheduled. Flights from Columbus to Horseshoe Bay, one from Tyler, Texas to Horseshoe Bay. Something's going on, man, and I think the answer is going to be yes when the pieces finally come together.
Alex?
Oh, beautiful Horseshoe Bay.
Cut a Horseshoe Bay promo. Just tell me yes or no.
I swear to God, I'm going to move there in retirement. That's for sure.
I've never been.
Yes, I think yes. I think it's likely to happen.
Onward.
I'm going to say yes.
Holy shit, that's three yeses.
I think coaches are like boxers. They never retire. They take time off.
This is a Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, Mike Tyson just fought over the weekend, okay? I mean, like, Mike Tyson just fought Roy Jones Jr. Like, the boxers don't retire and coaches don't retire either. They take time off. And I can't imagine there'd be a better situation for him to return to coaching.
All right, Dustin, you've moved rooms.
Yeah, I moved rooms.
You sound good.
Yeah, I moved closer to the internet, so I should be good now. Something about that room, my office is just too far away a little bit for Zoom. But yeah, what I was trying to say was I was at a baby no. You know, I texted a friend last night who was asking about it. You know, Anwar mentioned on Slack that everybody's friends are reaching out, asking you about Urban Meyer. And it's an endless list. Even my mom texted me asking about it because she was being bugged about it at her school. But I said 40%. So I guess I'm at a slight no, but I really do think there's a realistic opportunity that happens. It's just, there are so many boxes I think that need to be checked in order for that thing to happen. And as we know, you got to approach those guys the right way. But this guy is such a competitor. He wants to be back on that sideline, I'm sure. And I don't think that he's going to find a better opportunity in terms of program than this. But I'm at like 40% yes. So I guess that's technically a no.
I'm still at a no. mainly, and I posted this on the board last night. I have for the almost the last decade, this theory came out in 2013. I've been thinking about this now for over 7 years. We just lived through the Boogie Nights 80s decade of Texas football. And if you go back to that movie, Boogie Nights, you know, the 70s were great and everybody was having a great time and life was pretty good for these porn stars, considering, you know, they were porn stars, but like they were having a great time in the 70s. And then on New Year's Eve, I guess January 1st, 1980, little Bill, he kills his wife, commits suicide, and everything changes with every single character from then on out. And I've always felt like the Colt McCoy injury in the Rose Bowl was that moment. And it was the little Bill murder suicide of Texas football. And for the last 10 years, the UT athletics in general has just been going through its weird, coked out, like trying to rob people in their homes 80s stage. It is, you know, pulling over on the side of the road. And it's all that stuff that happened in the movie. That's what we've seen. And until we're out of it, completely out of it, until Urban Meyer's holding a press conference and I can definitively say, holy crap, like it finally turned. Texas athletics is finally back on the upswing and it's not stuck in what turned out to be an entire fucking decade of horrible, horrible memories. What ifs, could have beens. And it's so, I'm so beaten down that I won't be able to believe that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because I don't believe in rainbows anymore after the last 10 years. I desperately want to see the Texas fan base. We've had hundreds of signups since, ironically, Texas loses to Iowa State. And it's the end of the season. And at that moment is when everybody wants to sign up for Orange Bloods. Everybody. We're suddenly, hundreds of people are signing up. This isn't because of anything that's happening on the field. This is the dream of the what if. And I agree with all of you guys. Like, on it feels like it's happening. It really does. But my brain keeps telling me I have had this it's happening feeling several times over the course of the last decade, and it always ends in ruin. So for good luck's sake, I'm going to say no, so that I'm not the jinx, because Lord knows I get blamed for everything else. But man, I empathize with Texas fans, because they are this is Anwar, the board. Alex, you've been you started as a subscriber on Orange Bloods, following Ryan Perilou, experiencing the national championship run, right? Like, you lived through that.
I was at those games.
You were shown on television. Yeah. Freaking out. Yeah. So like, you've lived it in every sense that it can be lived.
I was a student that year.
I'm telling you, but you weren't on TV like Alex was.
Like, no, Alex. I wasn't that close. I didn't have that kind of hookup.
Alex was like gripping on national television right before. That was the Mangum kick, right?
That was the one where I was on the one where my phone just blew up leaving that, because, you know, down in the Rose Bowl, you don't get service. So I was just walking out. I'm like, Jesus, I must have been on TV or something. but that was the Michigan.
Yeah. Okay. So Alex, from your perspective, given the full circle that you've experienced in all of this, how do you describe what you're watching this week, last 6 days, with regards to where everybody's heads is? This is just crazy time.
Well, I mean, I know that the people I talk to, I've been trying to figure out in my mind what happens if there is no Meyer, what happens if it can't happen. There are those, you know, it's like you wrote in your report this morning, Catch. There are things that are outside of anybody's influence or anybody's purview that are going to be just as important as the things that Texas can have all the influence over, and they can go about everything the right way and still Urban Meyer's wife looks at him and says, like, look, man, we need you around to be around to see these grandkids grow up. Like, you're only working, what, 20 hours a week right now, having to go to production meetings and just being – it's like I could see a wife having some sort of pitch like that. And that's – I mean, that's out of anybody's hands. So when I've asked around this week about, well, people that, you know, donate lots of money to the program, people who have various levels of connections, certainly not as high up as some of the people that you guys are, you know, sourcing quotes and remarks from in the various updates. But I mean, people who are stakeholders, right? And what they say is they're just like, and I ask, you know, what about like a Bob Stoops, or what about a, you know, what about a Mario Cristobal, or what about like something outside the box, like a Joe Brady or something like that? Because obviously those options are all better than Tom Herman. Everybody would prefer any of those guys over Tom Herman, I think. But whenever you even bring those guys up, people are just like, no, it's got to be Urban Meyer. You make the moves and you go big and you go get Urban Meyer. I feel like everybody's eggs are all in that basket right now. And I'm like, catch, I hope that those eggs don't, you know, I hope that the, what, you know, I guess, what are they saying? Like, I hope the eggs don't roll off the basket and all crack, you know, because everybody seems to be really, really focused on this one outcome, which I agree is the best outcome, but it sure seems like Texas fans are all in.
On war, there's so many directions I want to go with this Urban Meyer. It's so strange because Tom Herman still has a job and there's still a game in like 49 hours from now. Paint me the picture of, in your mind, of Meyer takes the job. What happens? And then paint the picture for me if this ends up being the biggest tease that Texas fans have felt. Maybe, I mean, this could surpass, this is going, if they don't get him, this is so much closer than Nick Saban ever became, for all of the reasons that have forever been remembered. Paint the picture both ways for me as to what it means for yes and what it means for no, in your mind.
You know, I think if it's a yes, it's just clearly, you know, one, it's within him, right? And he's just decided that, hey, at the end of the day, this is who I am. I'm a football coach. The TV stuff is cool. I hear what everyone's saying, but this is who I am. It's in me, and I don't want to quit it. I mean, you are Frank Gore, and you're saying I'm a football player, and I'm just going to play until I'm 40. You're LeBron, and so I'm going to play until I'm 40. You're a football coach, and you're like, hey, this is just what I do, and it ends up being him assessing and saying, I can win here at Texas. Even though my proteges have failed at Texas, Charlie Strong, Tom Herman, I can do what my proteges were unable to do. You know, and it's him feeling comfortable enough knowing that he's going to have the power, because Urban Meyer's not coming here if he doesn't have power. He's not. If Urban Meyer comes here, he's not answering to Chris Del Conte. Chris Del Conte will be answering to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is the boss, all right? Urban Meyer is the guy that calls the shots. And he's got to know that, yes, when I come in here, if I come here, I'm calling all the shots. I'm doing whatever I want. And nobody is going to F with that. And as long as you guys agree with that, that's fine. If he doesn't, it's a couple of things that, because I was thinking about writing this for Sunday, and a couple of things that are in my mind. There's two things. If the numbers are correct, we're hearing, you know, 12 million a year, 10 to 12, somewhere in that, right? At that point, Ketch, to me, if you're Texas and you're flexing like that, do you know what, Ketch? Find the other top coaches in the country and flex on them. Stop with the whole, let's see if this guy could be something. Because the thing is that Texas, over the past couple of hires, has guessed. There's been a lot of guesswork. Well, Charlie Strong did that at Louisville. We guess he could probably do it here at Texas. Well, Tom Herman did that at Houston. We guess he could probably do that. And some of the guys that you're naming, it's some guesswork if they can do it here. But if you're willing to put $12 million on the table, get some money for a buyout, and go after the top guys in the country. Make them tell you no. Just say, all right, we're going to put it on the table, because at Texas, you don't need to gamble anymore. You don't need to put any guesswork in there. So for me, if Urban takes it, that, you know, that's fine. It's a great day for Texas. If he doesn't, you either money whip you money whip the top names out there, or I think you keep Herman around for another year, and then you see if there are better options after that season.
You pistol whip them too. Like sometimes, you know, Don Corleone didn't get stuff done in The Godfather by, you know, money whipping them. He cut off horses' heads, and, you know, that had a way of working. Jason, I don't agree with Anwar that if they miss on Urban, that Herman being in, I just, for me, recruiting is in, they could hire you to be the head coach, and I think you'd get a first year recruiting bump, because head coaches in this state at either Texas or Texas A&M historically always get a first year bump. Like, it's just part of the excitement of newness. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a new shiny toy.
Yeah. Something, a shiny new broken toy is better than an old broken toy. And right now, as it relates to recruiting, to me, Texas has to do something one way or the other. The problem is, I don't know what metaphor I want to go with. I just know that if they don't get Urban, whoever it is that they do sign forever is the person who's not as, you know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm.
Not Urban.
If you used to date Cindy Crawford, like, your wife, no matter how beautiful she is, always knows that there's that. Like, I'm thinking of Russell Wilson's wife, right? It's like, damn, why'd he have to marry her? And it's like the reverse. Like, it's who you could have been with versus who you ended up with. And it better be Urban Meyer, because I don't know that Texas fans will be able to get over it, even if I still think it's the move that they would need to make for the reasons that I've outlined and we've discussed so much, which is recruiting is at this point really, what would be the word that you would use?
Stuck in the mud.
There you go.
Secondly, yeah, I don't know exactly what the question is, Kez, but you're right. If it's not Urban Meyer, whoever it is, that first loss that he suffers, they're going to be like, Urban wouldn't have lost that game. Oh. I mean, Texas fans are still pissed about the Nick Saban thing that didn't happen years ago. So, I
mean, 7 years ago.
I mean, it still comes up like weekly. So if it happens again, and it'd be a different set of circumstances, it wouldn't be the deal getting crushed, but if Urban says no for whatever his reasons are, it'll still be like, oh, we were so close to having, you know, arguably one of the top. I mean, you could make an argument that Texas was so close to having the top two coaches, certainly in our generation of college football. So to be so close a second time to get a generational type coach to run your program and to miss out again, yeah, that'll. I mean, it'll be salt in the wound again for Texas, and whoever they bring in, I mean, that guy's going to have to be really, really good, because people will be ready to pounce if he's not. And, for third consecutive coaching hire, that would be a miss if that was to happen. But, yeah, I mean, whoever comes in, if it's not Urban Meyer, and again, I cannot ignore, I mean, I went and looked as we were talking, as y'all were talking. I mean, there are still flights, one from Columbus scheduled for Horseshoe Bay. I mean, in one from Tyler for Horseshoe Bay. This whole little love triangle between Austin, Tyler, I say Austin/Horseshoe Bay, Tyler, and Columbus, it's not a coincidence. The number of flights going back and forth, I would bet if I went back and tracked flights for the last 5 years, there have never been this many flights from those three places kind of tied into the same places, the same dates. It's not a coincidence, man. Something's going on. I think it's going to be Urban Meyer. I'm starting to feel more and more strongly about it. And I'm basing that off of FlightAware. Sounds silly, but I can't. I mean, I feel like a tin hat wearing conspiracy theorist.
You truly are an Orange Buds board member.
You're a man of the people, and people don't realize it.
But you can't ignore it, man. It's just too big of a coincidence at this point. At first, when I first saw that first flight, from Columbus. I'm like, I didn't even open the thread. I'm like, okay, that's just ridiculous. But now I start looking, I'm like, holy shit, man, just more and more pieces start coming together. The puzzle isn't complete yet, but I think it's going to be Urban. But if it's not, then Ketch, you're right. Whoever it is, even though he's not replacing Urban, he's going to have some big shoes to fill regardless, because people will compare him to what could have been had Texas got Urban Meyer.
All right. I had this question in my head. I want to ask everybody. This may end up being either the worst thing I've ever done in a podcast or maybe the thing that'll end up being the most memorable. I want everybody to stop and think for a second about the closest, like, Nick Saban slash, let's live in a world for a second where Urban Meyer doesn't take the job, right? Have anybody ever had moments in their life where they were this close to touching the pinnacle of something, that something was about to happen in their life and then it just didn't happen? And then, like the Nick Saban thing for Texas fans, it's just forever been in the back of your mind as a, that could have been different. Anybody have any of those? I have one that literally comes to the top of my mind, but I want to ask you guys first before I share.
I can't think of one personally, but it sounds like that dude from DraftKings who got screwed out of $1 million on the stat corrections.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example.
Yes, that poor bastard. Alex, let me hear yours.
I don't know if it's really – now that I think about the DK stat correction guy, it's not really the same as that. But basically what it was was a couple of I forgot what it was. It was after I sold my house in East Austin. I was about to have another kid. And my wife and I were trying to buy a place, right? And we found a house that we really, really liked. It was one that was in an area that we liked, and everything about it was good, all this stuff. And so I put in an offer on the house, put down the earnest money, did all this stuff. We get into closing, all this. And it feels like you're going around there, you're checking things out, you're going through the process of buying the house, you're into it. It feels like you're already 1 foot out of the old place you're renting into the new place. All of a sudden something comes back where there's something like the mortgage company said something came up on my credit to where they can't do it. And I got to wait to, you know, like in a year for this late payment or something to fall off before I, and I just remember being like, it really felt like the deal was done. You know, it's like we're going to have a new house, like all this stuff. And you know how wives, especially a pregnant wife, when they get, it's like they're thinking of their nesting habits and their nesting instincts. They really want to have something set up for when the kid comes. And now what do we do? Can we stay in this lease? Can we do, but you know, when I think back at that, you know, it's like at the time it was brutal and it just felt like such a kick in the nuts. I'm so glad I did not buy that house. It was not the right house to buy. It wasn't the right area. It wasn't the right time.
Nick Saban at the time though.
Yes. Yes. But see the thing, Nick Saban would have been the right hire. so that's the difference.
Fair enough. Anybody else? Anybody have one? Anwar, you have anything that comes to mind? You've got quite a story. You always have a million things that have happened in your life that are interesting. Ever have one that was almost there and didn't happen?
Yeah. I NFL Network. So I was contacted randomly by the NFL Network a few years ago, and they told me I was a finalist for a job. And I was like, oh, okay. It was interesting because I never applied for it, so I had no clue what they were talking about. But they told me I was one of like two finalists for a job. So they flew me out to LA. They told me I needed to get an agent, right? So I sat down and talked with an agent, and he started talking to the NFL Network people. They're like, they really love you. They really want to hire you. Like, it's going to be great. Right. I was like, okay, cool. And so they told me they were going to station me in Denver. Everything. We had talked money, this and that. So we're out in LA, right? They put me up Marina Del Rey. So I got this room with the balcony. It's overlooking the water, right? It's looking nice, right? And I'm just like, man, this is onward. You freaking have done it, man. And so I show up to the studio, yeah, go on one day, and I do my interviews. I'm nailing it, right? Everyone's just been like, man, we love you, man. And they're just, I mean, it just sounds like a good deal. And then it's like, they bring me in the following day. And you know, my flight's supposed to leave around 6 or so. And so it's about like around 11 o'clock or so in the morning. And the guy, one of the guys goes, hey, has he done like a screen test or anything yet? And I was like, oh, nah. And he's like, well, let's just do a screen test real quick. Right. And so I did like a screen test. So I have like in so to understand, like they put me in the studio and there's like 30 people who are watching me. Just watching me. And they gave me like this fake scenario of like Calvin Johnson doing all these types of things, right? And so there's people up in the booth. So there's like 50 people watching me. It's like, it's really crazy. It's really intense. It was really scaring the shit out of me, right? And so I started doing the screen testing in the afternoon. I had like a couple of times to prep. Anyway, the first time I went and, you know, they kicked it to me and it's like the scenario, I bombed it. Freaking just bombed it. I stopped what I was saying. I was like, oh man, my bad. Let's do it again. The second time I did it, I nailed it. And the guy was like, this is perfection. Look at him. Like, he's done great. A couple of people applauded. And then they didn't hire me.
Oh, that's a great story though.
They didn't hire me.
That's hardcore.
They walked off. They're like, man, you did great, man. We can't wait to talk to you. And then when eventually they told that agent, like, yeah, he just doesn't really have a lot of TV experience. And they're like, but that's the point. Like, you understand? No one, you guys understood that. So yeah, that was probably the closest where I thought this was something's going to happen, and it just didn't.
You want me to make you feel better? Well, go ahead. Was that Dustin? Who was that?
Yeah, Dustin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of had the, you know, I didn't catch you, obviously remember this. I kind of had the equivalent with the Mariners when I was a finalist for a scouting job. And on where it's funny, they basically told me the same thing. Like, yeah, you know, we just had to go with a more experienced guy. It's like, well, why did you interview me then? Like, why am I a finalist? You can clearly see I've never worked in professional baseball before. So, yeah, I share where you're coming from, Anwar.
Is that yours, Dustin? Very clearly, I remember that. It's one of the things that popped into my brain was that story.
Yeah, no, that's you know, that was like, and for people that don't know, like you know, and every organization does it differently, but I mean, they had rounds of interviews. There were multiple phone interviews. You basically go into, you know, two separate rooms for an hour each, and you basically get grilled by pretty much every top ranking guy in the organization besides the general manager. It's video, it's scouting. I mean, it's like, you know, written stuff, it's statistical stuff, and you don't really know what they're going to ask about. And it's a really intense process with like multiple cuts and all these sorts of things, which is kind of crazy when you consider, you know, these guys, you know, they're, you know, they don't make like a ton of money, but there's just not many of them. It was, you know, I was like, wow, I've made it this far. You know, maybe this thing is actually like a legitimate thing that could happen. And I was one of two finalists and they're like, yeah, we just had to go with the more experienced guy. And I was like, well, you know, you guys knew I wasn't really that experienced, you know, but in hindsight, like, it's probably a really fortunate thing. Obviously I love working on orangebloods.com, but you know,
I'm going to make you feel better. Okay. Cause this wasn't a livelihood thing, but it is still a soul crusher. Before we move back into the Urban Meyer discussion, in 2000, May of 2000, I was in Vegas for the rivals.com like company meetings, right? We all got together, convention in Vegas. They used to do it crazy. We're at Iron Horse, Crazy Horse, whatever the strip club is, Crazy Horse, I think. And I think it was like Crazy Horse too. And I'm inside and all of rivals.com is inside. In fact, I can remember getting a lap dance next to somebody who's competitive competitor in the market right now, as a matter of fact. And that person was very into Asian dancers, if I remember correctly. This is 20 years ago, so I'm remembering this off of memory. I met this dancer, right? You know how it is. You know, anybody's ever been to a strip club, like the dancers get paid to pretend like they like you. And I went back into like the VIP room with this dancer and I got like three, like, I don't know. I got like the VIP thing. It was like three, was a couple hundred bucks or whatever for like three songs. And we're like chatting and whatever. And I'm telling her I'm from Austin and telling her that I'm in media. And it turned out that she used to date Eric Martin of the Saints. And we had been at a party that Michael Jordan was hosting when he'd played in a celebrity basketball game a couple of years prior. So we kind of hit it off. And then this guy comes up to her with something and she like signs it. I'm like, what's going on there? And she's like, oh, once upon a time I was in Playboy. And so occasionally I will have people come up to me in the club and ask me for my autograph to sign the pictures. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a Playboy playmate. And so we're like, I don't know if she's a playmate, but she was in Playboy, right? And this guy brought pictures for her to autograph. And I saw it and like, we're talking and we end up hanging out for like a couple of hours. And at one point, and she's not really charging me any money, which was kind of cool. At one point she asks me for my phone number. I give her my phone number and that was kind of it. Night ends. I go off on my own way. She had told me that she was going to call me the next day, but I, at that point, was 24, almost 24 years old. I'd been in a strip club a time or two at that, by that point. I knew how the game worked. Like, oh yeah, here's my number, whatever. So the next day, my boy Matt and Chandra, his girlfriend, come into town. And the movie Gladiator, God, I still remember the details. The movie Gladiator came out in the theaters. So we went to the movie theater to see Gladiator while we were in Vegas, of all the things we could have done. And because I was in the movie, I turned off my phone. While I was in the movie, said Playboy playmate called me to let me know that she had been thinking about me and wanted to hang out and spend the day. And I missed the call. And then when I got out of the theater and checked my messages and heard the call, I called her back and never connected. Never heard from her again. Never followed up. It was the one-shot deal. She called me the next day. She wanted to hang out. And I was watching Russell Crowe in Gladiator. And I have forever been haunted by what could have been. That's my Nick Saban.
Wow.
Yeah.
That does. That is depressing. It is. So you called back, but she just never answered.
I got voicemail. And I believe me, I tried. I tried.
Well, she's got options, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
At that point, you were an afterthought.
But like in retrospect, like I hung out with her for hours that night, and I think I was only out like a couple hundred dollars. Like all these years later, I've completely worked it out of my head. Like, you know what? That doesn't usually happen. Like usually they end up with $2,000 instead of $200 when you hang out in the VIP section for hours. And it never crossed my mind. If I thought in a million years that woman would actually call me, oh hell. I'd have sat by the phone forever. I'd have never gone to a new movie theater again. But yeah, that happened. So I cannot watch Gladiator without ever thinking about that. And that movie is on all the time.
Well, my son's name is Maximus.
Yes.
So, I mean, like that's a weekly reminder for you.
Yes. Okay. So back to Urban Meyer. That's what this is. Like I'm so excited for Texas fans to potentially have something like this, Dustin. But man, when I suppose that's the risk. When you go for something, anything in life that is truly spectacular, like there's the risk of not getting it. I don't mean to over-focus on the negative here, but there's just this part of me that is concerned about what does next week look like? What if the Urban Meyer dream goes away?
If it's not a situation like USC when Pete Carroll walked through the door later on, I don't want to know what it looks like, to be honest with you, because, you know, Texas fans, they're genuinely so close to like all the things they've been thinking about for this, you know, awful decade. Is that Texas is so close to acting like they think Texas should act, like all the time. Like, we're Texas. Let's go spend the money. Let's go hire the best of the best. Let's just put winning football games above everything and just turn into the type of top program we think we should be. And it's like, it's an actual vision. Like, you don't have to, you know, this isn't a dream for these fans. This is something that, you know, they can point to some tangible things like, hey, like this is actually a possibility. And like you said, I'm excited for them that, you know, there's that real potential, but I don't want to think about what's on the other side, because if you're not going to take the approach, which, you know, Anwar made a great point, like, look, if you've set aside this much money and this much offer, you know, from some of the things we've heard flying around, why not just take that same thing and go to all these other guys and say, tell us no. You know, here it is. You know,
if he says no, make Nick Saban turn 12 million.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. Just like, you know what? At that point, you're dealing with the optics of Urban Meyer telling you no. Go make these other guys tell you no. Who cares? You know,
we say no to 12
yes,
million.
Yes. Just, you know, all of those guys. And if that's not the accompanying approach to the possible no from Urban Meyer, I just don't want to know what's on the other side there, because I think, you know, I'm thinking back to how the fan base reacted to Charlie Strong when he was hired, knowing that the Nick Saban thing happened. And of course there was the Red Banquet moment. And I think over time that people were genuinely excited about, you know, Charlie and what he had done at Louisville and just the things they were hearing and so on and so forth. And I think it would definitely require some time for Texas fans if it wasn't one of those just, oh my gosh, kind of names in college football. And it's a kind of a big name, but not really a proven name type of thing, kind of similar to a, you know, hiring a Charlie Strong or a Tom Herman. I think over time people would get excited for it. Just the element of change is going to make people happy at the end, because that's just kind of what they want right now. But it would take some winning. And if those wins didn't immediately come, it would just be like, you know, I think Jason, you mentioned the Texas fans still bring up, oh, we could have, if we had Nick Saban, we had never been in this problem. Then that's going to be the reaction if the wins don't immediately follow. So I don't really want to think about what's on the other side if it's not one of those huge names in the sport, just because I think Texas fans, for genuine reasons, are getting their hopes up with the idea of Texas finally acting like the Texas they want it to be, and that they actually do have a legitimate chance of bringing in that guy to run the program.
Let's talk about Urban's health for a second, right? Because ultimately Urban Meyer would be coaching college football right now if the health thing wasn't an issue with him. And he may get back into it, and it may be YOLO, right? Like, it may be that football is just a passion that he can't give up. Dustin, I feel like of the five of us, and anybody that's wrong, if anybody thinks I'm wrong on this, feel free to jump in here, but I feel like I'm going to go to Dustin first, because it feels like you have followed Meyer's career more closely than anybody else, in part because of your Florida State fixation. So you've had the Florida and the Florida State thing as an ongoing thing in your mind for a long time. How big of a war? I feel like when Meyer left Ohio State, the feeling was, well, this wasn't really about his health, that this was really about them running him out of town because of what happened with Zach Smith and that whole situation in his final season. But now that Urban's been out for a little bit, it's hard. Nobody ever has an Urban Meyer conversation anymore without mentioning, like, you know, the health thing. It's too bad. Like, you've got this all-time great, and this is the thing that he's dealing with. On a 1 to 10 scale, like, what's the worry with that? Because the one thing that also I can't help but think about is, like, if he's got health issues, what happens, like, after the first 12 months? He's having health issues. Like, the health thing for you, Dustin, like, what's your read on it?
I think it's very much a legitimate thing. I think that, you know, when he left Florida and when he left Ohio State, there was some off the field things happening with his program that you could kind of point to and say, oh, you know, this is just the reason why he's leaving. And maybe that wasn't a total coincidence. I don't think it was, but the health thing is a real thing. And part of that is because the guy is so competitive and he's so obsessed with winning and he's so obsessed with pouring everything into making a program successful. So if you put it on a 1 to 10 scale, I think the initial concern, as in, like, hey, we hire the guy year one type of thing, would be fairly low. So I'd probably put that at like a 3. But I think over time is when that concern raises, because that's what we've seen, you know, the run at Florida. And then, you know, it's just, it's hard to stay on top at that level and just kind of keep functioning in the way that some of these guys function. And he had those issues. And then at Ohio State, not as long of a run, but he kind of had some of those issues again, just because of the, you know, just the pressure and how much he puts into it. So I think over time that concern would elevate. I think it's a very legitimate thing. And I think that the biggest factor in all of this, and it's something that I'm sure that Urban Meyer is weighing right now, is he's only going to do this thing if he's able to hire a staff that he knows he can win with. And I think deep down Urban Meyer, you know, with good reason, he's always won, but he's a very, very confident guy. You know, he thinks he can go to a Texas and win. But it's easier to have that comfort level and to kind of, you know, minimize perhaps that stress you put on yourselves if you have a staff around you that you know, from the operations people to the coordinators to the position coaches to the recruiting guys to the, you know, just everybody, just having that known element of, I know who I'm working with. I have a comfort for working with those people. That kind of lowers that, just that stress risk associated with, you know, just being a big time football coach. And I think ultimately that's going to be the thing that either sways this thing one way or another, is if he knows he can assemble a staff with all the guys and the people that he knows and bring them with him. But yeah, it's very much a legitimate concern, coach. You know, thinking back to his time at Florida and Ohio State, you know, there were some things happening within the program that were, you know, making the headlines, were not, you know, very pretty, but the health thing was definitely a risk. And I think it was a legitimate thing. And I think it's something that over time, I think would probably raise, you know, the concern level a little bit, just because of how this guy has approached his jobs and just how competitive and how good he's been at them.
Jason, you've been Mr. Positive.
He's only 56, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I mean,
it's not his age that's the issue there. I mean, yeah, really.
It's, I mean, how old is Bob Stoops? You know, and he's the guy that stepped away, you know, and you know, I a lot of people kind of speculated about, you know, his dad's past, you know, like literally dying on the field and things like that. Like, it's some of these guys reach a level with these stress levels and things like that at these top programs, and it really wears them majorly.
My Ohio State, Jason, my Ohio State guy that I talked to last night mentioned headaches. Like specifically, and it, you know, like a level of specificity that I hadn't.
Well, I think of that image of him on the field, like, remember, like holding his head, Urban Meyer, yeah, he was in such pain. I mean, the health issues are real. I mean, honestly, I mean, let's be honest, these Urban Meyer rumors have been going around for more than a month. I don't know. That's pinpoint back through my old text messages, but I had heard, I mean, long before we got to where we are on this road now, you know, and there was just kind of casual conversations about would Urban be interested. I mean, the first thing I heard, like going back probably 6 weeks, is that his health was his biggest concern. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about any of this other stuff. It was about Urban being, and when I first heard that rumor, I thought, oh, Texas is concerned with Urban's health. And I was, the person I was talking to said, no. Urban has told people, it's his health is the biggest concern. So, I mean, it's a very real thing. And, you know, I mean, obviously in something like that, you got to take your family into consideration. Your family's opinions are going to carry a lot of weight. So, you know, I can imagine, I think we all agree, and Catchy reported, the ball is in Urban's court at this point, but this is probably a big decision for him and his entire family. And you can certainly understand why he would be struggling with it. I think the health stuff is an absolute concern. And Dustin, I agree with you. I mean, Urban's not coming here if he's not, you know, 99.9% confident he's going to get Texas back to a championship level. He doesn't want to come here for 4 or 5 years and tarnish his legacy and not be successful. So I'm sure he's kicking the tires. And if he can't get the guys he wants to come with him, that's probably going to be another factor. But I think none of that matters if he can't get past the health issue. And I have heard through the grapevine, through a source I trust, that Urban has expressed that as an issue. I mean, it's been going on for, like I said, probably 6 weeks or better. I've heard that that's a primary concern of his.
And this is a guy that, you know, 2 years ago, Pete Thamel wrote a story just about Urban addressing, you know, talking about his health and stuff. I mean, there's a guy that's undergone brain surgery, you know, and talked about those having the, he called them aggressive headaches and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's, I'm sure on one hand, he's probably like, you know what, since then I feel okay. I'm doing my thing. I'm having a good time. You know, like I could get back on the field, but I'm sure in the back of his head, he's wondering, you know, hey, is this sort of thing going to pop up again? And fairly so.
And to all y'all's points, and just to add in a little bit more, if you want to talk about stress level, University of Texas is a stressful job. Right? I mean, when you talk about the what is going to be expected of him from day one, and what that looks like, when you talk about all the other people who are going to be involved or try to be involved in the day-to-day activities, it's because they're the big money donors, and they're going to have, you know, want to have a say, you know, in that. And then, you know, winning into this conference, recruiting, like there's a lot of things that will hit the reset button for him, but in a little bit more of a magnified, you know, capacity. You have orange blood, you have orange fans, right? I mean, just, you know, a lot of things to, you know, a lot of people in their basement, as your six would say, in their mom's basement. You know, you got a lot of things to deal with that you may not have at other places. So the stress level here at UT is definitely something that he's got to weigh and make sure, like, yeah, hey, can I win here? Because again, I've seen, I'm sure Urban Meyer is very well aware of what, you know, Charlie Strong, obviously Urban's better than Charlie, so that's, I'm not saying, but you know, but understand the challenges that are associated with it. And you know, this is a place that over the last decade has struggled. And so, you know, there's, you know, he's got to make sure, like, hey, if I come here, this is a place I for sure know I can win.
I'm curious too, like, in, you know, hopefully this is something that, you know, he can be asked if he's hired by Texas, but like, he's probably looking at the Big 12, like, yo, like I can beat these guys, you know? And it's kind of like when he arrived, you know, the SEC wasn't the SEC when he arrived at Florida, and the Big 10 wasn't the Big 10 when he arrived at Ohio State. I mean, he's really timed those moves well. And I gotta think that he's probably, you know, weighing the stress that comes with Texas, which is very true, a very fair point. You know, kind of looking at the Big 12, like, come on, man. Like, if I can't win here, something's wrong with me. And I think too, like, it looking, you know, just thinking back to how he's described Texas this season on the Fox set and things like that, I think it really bothers him that Texas isn't better. I think it really kind of in some ways frustrates him that he's watching, you know, a guy that worked for his staff, and he's watching this Texas team, and he's identifying these issues, and he's like, this program should be better than this. Like, I can go fix this thing. And I got to imagine that in the Big 12 is playing into the decision-making process as well.
You know what, Anwar? The one thing I'm thinking of, the mindset of Texas fans who were taking this in, and the one thing that they keep saying that they are right about when we talk about the health and everything else, Urban had said no. I mean, if he, you know, it's clear he's interested, but he's had time to give a firm no. So if you were going to give a firm no because of health, couldn't you have done that before now? Like, it feel, I don't know. Like, I understand Texas fans saying, well, wait a minute now. Like, if ultimately he's going to say no because family didn't want to because of the health, like, why are planes coming and going? Why are we even here? He could just say no.
I mean, he could, right? But he could also play this thing out and still be thinking in the back of the head, I can get an extra mil or two out of Fox, you know? And I don't have to say no at this point because – you know, maybe Fox is like, hey, you know, again, I use that John Gruden to Tennessee analogy where, you know, he, and again, Tennessee's not Texas. I'm not putting it on that level. But, you know, some, if there's a rumor out there, I mean, Urban Meyer is going to get a pay raise regardless. Okay. Fox is either going to hook him up or Texas is going to really, really hook him up.
And I believe his contract actually expires on the 19th. Like, I think his Fox obligations are about to end. So he would be stand in line to negotiate for him. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, he still has a year and Fox doesn't have to worry about that. This actually, from a timing standpoint, does line up with the expiration of his Fox deal, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I was just piggybacking.
Yeah, and then it looks, and he's good on Fox. I think we would agree that, you know, he does a really good job of dissecting information. You know, you feel like you've learned something when you hear him speak. So I think he does a really good job. And so that would be my only thing I would say as far as, well, why does he not say no? Because he doesn't have to. Right now, he's probably in the middle of two contract negotiations. And at the end of the day, it is like, hey, Urban, you're a made man. and they're going to pay you this to stay at Fox, then that's what you do. Or he's like, look, my love is football, and this is just, you know, this is what I want to do, and I want to go to Austin.
I'm reading this Pete Thamel as you're literally talking on War. Sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. I'm looking at a column that he wrote. This was published last night. Those who don't know Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports, presumably that means Tom would have read this since he goes to Yahoo for his news. Pete Thamel, which I believe he's done stuff with Tom Herman before.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, Thamel's Herman's national guy.
He's one of the, but he's one of the biggest and most respected national reporters on the planet. He used to be New York Times. Now he's Yahoo Sports. This is from his column on Harbaugh and Herman / Urban Meyer last night. It says, let me find this paragraph. Sorry, I scrolled down. It says, Texas AD Chris Del Conte's play here appears to be shopping for Herman's replacement and attempting to arrange something before having to make a public decision on Herman. This is a common tactic, but rarely do these shadow searches unfold under such scrutiny. The question will be if Texas strikes out and Del Conte will aim Dabo level high if Meyer passes as expected, how will everybody sputter forward and force a smile for Herman returning for a plank walk season in 2021? That stood out to me for a couple of reasons. One, Pete Thamel's the first guy that I've seen offer an opinion as strong as if Meyer passes on the Texas job as expected. He writes it kind of matter-of-factly, almost, I don't know, there's not a lot of buildup that this could seriously happen. So that stood out to me. He also hints that Texas, as Dustin mentioned earlier, like, go after Dabo, go after Nick Saban. He mentions that Del Conte, quote, will aim Dabo level high. I want to just circle back to this idea of, does anybody...
But can I just put this out there before you go?
Yeah.
Just hold your thought for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Everyone I've talked to within a journalism circle said Thamel is Urban's guy. Like, I was informed, like, look, if anyone's going to break this story, it's going to be Thamel, because that is his guy and his guy alone. So if he's saying that, then there may be something to it. I'm just, you glossed over it, but I know I spoke to people who've done this long. They're like, that's his guy. That's his guy.
Well, and again, I've read 40, and I've read Feldman, and I've read a lot of different people this week kind of skirt the issue a little bit. None of them have given and it's in the middle of it's buried, right? This isn't the theme of this article. It just very casually says, you know, if he passes as expected. Forget about Mario Cristobal for a second, and I don't know who the names that have currently been floating out there. Who do you go? Could Texas get a Dabo? Like, if you've made, like Dustin pointed out, man, if you're going to offer a 12 Texas million,
that guy can ride his own. I just think he can ride his own ticket at Clemson, right? I mean,
in theory, you could just get everybody a raise, right? Like, offer Saban, offer Dabo. What's the list though behind those three guys? If it's Saban, Dabo, Urban, not in that order for me, but those three guys, you know,
that isn't a realistic list.
Well, and Anwar is sending us a link to the USA Today article. Anwar, I think that number that is on the right of that column, which is what would the number be if the school bought out those people, like, if someone wanted to hire Herman, it wouldn't cost them $15 million, would it? Because it says school buyout as of 12.
That's what you're saying. That's just the remainder of their contract.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I just, continue. I don't, it may, yeah, yeah. So I'm just wondering, and I know why you did that, because if Dabo has a $50 million buyout, and it could be 25, I don't know what all of these coaches' buyouts are, but the 10 highest paid coaches in the country are Saban, Orgeron, Swinney, Harbaugh, Fisher, Smart, Malzahn, Riley, Patterson, Mullen. That list, that's the top 10. Of that top 10, there's like, who's the fourth guy? I guess the question would be, if you take Saban and Urban and Dabo out, who the hell's number four? Because I don't know. It might be Lincoln Riley. And I'm like, well, that's off the table. And I'm like, is Kirby Smart? Would you be able to land Kirby Smart? Would he? There's no way Kirby Smart leaves Georgia. You're not getting Jimbo. Like, so suddenly, I just don't know.
I wouldn't foresee Kirby leaving Georgia.
Would people even be that fired up really about it? Like, even that would feel probably like a letdown to a lot of folks, right?
So do you have to go NFL at that point? Like, would you have to do something unorthodox and go to San Francisco and say, Kyle Shanahan, I know that you never want to leave the NFL, but what if we paid you $13 million a year? I don't know. Like, I'm just – because the way that Pete Thamel throws it out there, like, well, if Del Conte doesn't get Urban, he's going to swing for the fences, Dabo high. Those were his words. There aren't a lot of dudes that, like, are Dabo high. There is a – and I just don't know that no matter what, Texas can't offer Nick – they can't offer Urban Meyer $12 million a year or whatever the number ends up being. And then be like, well, we couldn't get him, so we hired Mario Cristobal for six. I mean, you know, like, at that point, once you've sort of established the market.
You've established the market out there, and people know that's what you're looking to spend.
Alex is like showing your wife like a 3-bedroom house and then being like, well, what if we, you know, we do have a small family. Like, what if we just go 1-bedroom and put the kid in a crib in our bedroom? What if we did that? We could save money. It'd be just as good of a house. Like, once you open Pandora's box, there's a Pandora's box that's been opened. And I just don't know that you can put the genie back. I'm mixing all of my metaphors now, but I don't know that now that this genie is out of the bottle, I don't think, as Thamel suggests, that Herman could be brought back on a walk the plank season. Cause Anwar, as our sourcing was talking about yesterday, this university is very keen on the fact that coming out of a pandemic, people have now learned behavior. They have, you know, they've broken their norms of going to the stadiums and season tickets and all of these things. There's a very real concern behind the scenes that this 100,000 seat stadium will never be full again if they don't hire somebody like Urban Meyer.
It's a tough situation, because the question is, to me, is, Ketch, who do you hire that you can realistically obtain, right? And I mean, like, there's the wish list of what we're talking about, right? But there's like the realism, right? Like, Nick Saban's probably not going to leave Alabama. You don't want Ed Orgeron. Dabo's probably not going to leave. He's already a main man there. He's going to the CFP, so he's there. You don't want Harbaugh. You know, Fisher's obviously locked there. Kirby Smart won't move the needle. Miles, like, you go down the list, who would move the needle? Because you said, I know you talked about recruiting bump. I don't know who moves the needle. And then I go back to, now you're back to guessing again. Like, now you don't have a made man. Now you're trying to say, well, could this guy do this, or could this guy do that? And maybe this guy can do this, and maybe this guy can do that. And you potentially could find yourself in the same situation 3-4 years from now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, the best alternative is, you know, probably the Todd Allen at Indiana. I mean, but I don't think he moves the needle, but at least you know, at Todd Allen in Indiana. I mean, that guy was going toe to toe with Ohio State at Indiana. Okay, I mean, you talk about coaching potentially, but I mean, Matt Campbell from Iowa State? I mean, would you get excited about that? And look, Tom Herman's record against Matt Campbell—they are they like split at this point? Because I know he's beat Iowa State a couple of times. So I don't know if you get a tremendous upgrade. So I don't know, Ketch, and that's where I think that's the tricky part. And I think I think the Texas fan, the belief that Tom Herman needs to be fired, I think Tom Herman, if you could upgrade to Urban Meyer, totally can make, you know, understand that. But if you can't upgrade to Urban, and now you're in like a second tier of guesswork, I think I think it's dangerous.
And that is what you just said. That is Pete Thamel's point in the Yahoo column, which is it may behoove Texas and Michigan to wait a year. That Texas has got this Urban Meyer thing going on, right? So that's one thing. But Michigan doesn't have a clear answer for Harbaugh. And beyond Urban, Texas Now, I don't know what changes this year and next year in terms of, you know, I mean, there aren't a lot of guarantees on the boxes. But the point you're making is exactly what Thamel says, which is they aim high and they miss. They may say, well, God, man, rather than go spend a bunch of money on Tom Allen, let's just bring Herman back. At what point, though, have we gone too far down the road where it couldn't happen because either, you know what I mean? Like,
does Brian Kelly move the needle at all? He's making 1.8 mil at Notre Dame, the that 60.
Sometimes with the private school numbers, they sometimes.
Okay, I'm about to say that's got to be because he's barely ahead of Seth Luttrell from North Texas. So
Brian Kelly's an interesting one, though, because I've wondered that one myself.
I would think he'd be more NFL before he'd jump.
I don't
from
think
Notre
so.
Dame,
I think he's a college right? guy. I just don't know. You know, Notre Dame is not poor. So, you know, I didn't mention him. He would be the one, I guess, nationally elite coach that isn't in that top 10 tier. Right. I mean, he's not listed in this USA Today top coaching salaries thing.
PJ Flex lost some of his shine this year. So
that's the thing, because there aren't that many guarantees on the boxes. No, like these dudes are all human.
Dan Mullen at Florida, but I don't think he would leave Florida. He's a great program builder, but I don't think he would leave. Northwestern guy.
I don't think Dan Mullen's a guarantee on the box. Like, everybody, just real quick. Anybody think if Urban Meyer takes a Texas job, he doesn't do it, that he can't win, that he'll fail?
No, he's never failed before in college football.
I wouldn't even put Dabo. And there are two men that are separate from everybody else, and it's Urban and it's Nick Saban. And Urban might get headaches, but I am not convinced, and Nick may get the coronavirus, but I'm not convinced that either of those two dudes bleed. Everybody else bleeds. Dan Mullen to Texas, he could be great, but like, I don't know. That dude looks like he bleeds to me. Everybody, like, it's just weird. That it is literally like you've been dating Tyra Banks and Cindy Crawford your entire life. And then it's like, well, now, or you have the opportunity to go out with the hottest woman that's ever lived, and then the backup to that is like mere mortals. And that's the weird position that Texas is in. In flirting with the guys that they flirted with, and they're beyond flirting with Urban now. You aim high, you fall low, I suppose. Personally, I'm all for going for the mountaintop. But, you know, I think the stakes, super, super high. I'm looking at the clock. I've got something I got to do in 15, so let's hop into parting shots. Let's go reverse alphabetical order because I always feel like I throw Alex and Anwar under the bus and make them go first. Jason, parting shot.
Was not ready for that.
I know.
Didn't know parting shots were coming, and I didn't know I'd be first.
Give us the recruiting stuff, man.
There's nothing, dude. That's what I was going to say. It's like, I did a podcast, I guess it was yesterday. I couldn't get my day straight, but Something's Brewing podcast, and I mean, I said it earlier, it's stuck in the mud. I mean, recruiting is just in neutral, and it's so weird. We are less than 2 weeks away from early signing period. I mean, this should normally be a time when people are excited and, you know, there's movement here and there, and there's just not. I mean, recruits are just like everybody else. They're all waiting to see what happens. You know, by and large, most of the recruits I've talked with, and I'm going to go through the recruiting board. I'm going to post it today. I'm going to go over it in the war room tonight, but it's almost an impossible task predicting that recruiting board right now. But most of the committed guys that I've communicated with have indicated they're probably going to stick with Texas regardless. And obviously if they get someone like Urban Meyer, those guys are probably all going to stick, assuming Urban wants them all to stick. But you know, the guys I've talked to, and you see Jonathan Brooks posted the other day, last couple days ago about, you know, hey, he's all in on Texas. And Jordan Thomas has told me, hey, it doesn't matter who's coaching, I'm going to Texas. Hayden Connor, most of the guys I've communicated have been pretty strong that they're going to stay with Texas, but they're like everybody else, man. They're waiting to see what happens. And then, you know, at that point, we'll kind of see if there is any fallout or what the fallout will be. But I'm kind of stuck in neutral covering recruiting, because recruiting is totally stuck in neutral until this whole coaching situation resolves itself.
Dustin, give us some hoops love. This team is 4-0. They're number four in Ken Palm rankings now. Like, there's and Shaka has, I don't care what anybody says, Shaka's got a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah, it's he's undefeated with that head of hair. And you know, they hung a banner every time from now on when the Maui Invitational is played. Texas is gonna have its banner up there and said it won the tournament. And yeah, it was quite a tournament. I was late to this podcast because I was finishing wrapping up just kind of a recap podcast about the Maui Invitational. And I think that, you know, obviously when you're winning games against good teams, it's a positive sign about the future. But just the way that tournament played out, three different games against three different style opponents, all three just kind of different challenges. And yet Texas found a way to win all three games. And you just kind of look up and down the roster, and there's a lot of guys that can play better. A lot of guys that had some foul trouble. So they had great defense one game and bad defense the other game, and great offense one game and so-so offense the other game. And then the North Carolina game was kind of tail of two halves, but you know, they found a way to win the game. And I think that the thing Texas fans should be really excited about is it seems like everybody on that roster knows their role. And that's such a challenge, especially early part in the season, is figuring out a rotation, getting guys to understand their roles, figuring out which guys best fit the roles. And I think Texas comes out of the Maui Invitational knowing that. You know, Brock Cunningham and Roy Sam know what they're supposed to do when they come off the bench, and Texas knows what they're going to get from those guys. And, you know, the starters know who the starters are. And you know, Kai Jones knows he's basically a starter even though he comes off the bench. And you know, the team knows how they're going to try to play and know that the, you know, the guards run the show. And then, you know, Matt Coleman goes out and wins them a game, which is what you, as a good senior point guard, does in those types of situations. So definitely some signs of optimism, I think, for Texas, and just some signs of this team's got to get better. But I think it's going to get better. There are going to be guys that play better. Greg Brown's best basketball is way ahead of him. He started to show some signs against North Carolina, had some unfair foul trouble. I felt like he was really about to come out of his shell and have a pretty good game, I think. But guess what? He's got, I think he's like in the top 50 nationally in defensive rebounding percentage. And that's a guy that's had a foul trouble for, I think, two or three of the games he's played as a collegiate player. So exciting times for the basketball program. Finally figuring out a way to consistently win those types of games against good opponents. And I think playing the way that Shaka Smart really wants those guys to play. And up next on Sunday is another, you know, number three in the KenPom.com rankings when Villanova comes to town as part of the Big East Big 12 Challenge. So another tough test for Texas, but they just got through three different but tough tests out in the Maui Invitational.
Dustin, that Davidson game, you talk about the progress that the team can still make. It feel like the team in a matter of 48 hours from the end of that, like that Davidson game, I'm going to remember that all season. I feel like, and it's weird because Davidson, I think, lost the next night to Providence. So, you know, here I was hyping them all up, but that was weirdly the wrong team for Texas to face. All that experience, you know what I mean? Like Texas trying to feel its way out, and Davidson looks so crisp and like clean and like they'd been playing ball forever. And then Texas, I felt like, ran roughshod the next two, like getting through Davidson it felt weird, but it was like North Carolina weirdly wasn't nearly as tough as that game. It was weird.
Against Davidson, they were so fixated on what Davidson does in the half court that they kind of forgot to play one-on-one defense for most of the game, and just that, but they held on and found a way to win. Then they come out against Indiana, play the best defense perhaps they've ever played under Shaka Smart. So I thought that was pretty telling response and a good thing for Texas that, you know, the coaching staff hammered those guys about defending and competing in the front. They didn't just beat Indiana. They beat up Indiana, who's a pretty good basketball team. And then kind of the tail of two halves against North Carolina, but finding a way to win that game. And I think that's something we could look back on as this season plays out, as, you know, them finding a way to beat Davidson despite not playing their best defense, and then immediately the next day coming out and playing some of the best defense a Shaka Smart team has ever played. That shows a pretty good connection between coaching staff and personnel.
A new episode of the Dropping Dimes podcast out, by the way, later today. So check that out over on the Yak Network. Dustin doing the hoops thing absolute justice after a 4-0 start and climbing in the rankings and a huge matchup this weekend. Mr. Richardson, parting shot, what you got?
Yeah, I would say, you know, this weekend's game. First of all, I forgot that I had to go on the road this weekend. We've been just so consumed with everything. I literally only like yesterday realized that I actually had to get on a plane and go. I was like, oh, man, I've actually got a road game and stuff. This is crazy. And so anyway, every game is a big game at Texas. But I would say this for Tom Herman and his sake. In Tom, you know, you've got to win. You got to beat Kansas State. If not for Texas, for your next potential employer. Because I think if Tom Herman could beat Kansas State and, of course, end the season with a win against Kansas, he's able to do whether it's to say to Del Conte or to say to someone, you know, as a potential employer in the future, he's able to say, you know what, they fired me after a 7-3 record, you know, 1-7. In a season where I had a 2-point loss to TCU, 8 points versus Oklahoma, 3 points versus Iowa State. Didn't get blown out of any of them, but they fired me. They fired me after 3 straight bowl wins, and I never lost a bowl game. Like, if you're Tom, these are some of the things that you could kind of build for a positive for someone else, which you interview with, and basically say, like, look, I did everything I could. I could have done more, for sure. Could have learned some things, but at the end of the day, I wasn't bad. Wasn't horrible. They just wanted more. So, and then if you are Tom, and for some reason they don't get Urban, you're able to sit down with Del Conte after the season and say, hey, by the way, let's just look at some of these things. And yes, I can fine tune a couple of areas, get better, so on and so forth. But that's why I say this is probably, you know, big for him for his future, whether at Texas or beyond, being able to say, hey, you did finish at least 7-3, and then add in some of the other positives will be huge for him. So let's see what happens. Of course, now that I say that, they'll probably lose to K-State. But at least we'll be there, and Ketch and I will do our post game afterwards.
Yes, we will. Mr. Dunlap.
I just have 3 quick ones because I know Ketch has to get out of here. First, you know, just right off the top of my mind, I would say I feel bad for the people of this city of Austin, because it looks like Mayor Adler is the latest to be a huge – this cravenly, despotic little impish tyrant, and just a complete charlatan and fraudster is urging – residents to stay home on a Zoom call where he's in goddamn Cabo with his friends. Just this guy, I mean, as if it's not enough to completely just blow up the homeless problem in Austin and all the rest. I would say I feel bad for the people of Austin, but then I stop and think, I'm like, no, these people voted for this. I mean, they want this. So congrats to you, Austin. You have a despot tyrant of a mayor who's just as bad as the rest of them. And the second thing I wanted to say was the tree genie. Once again, I told you guys about it last year. I bought this thing for like $140 a few years ago. I literally dragged it. And you guys can argue with me about the size again, but I bought it from the 10 to 12 foot section of the tree store. Giant tree. I put it in the tree genie. I hold it up straight by myself, all by myself, give it a few pumps with the foot. The thing's up straight. It's perfect. No yelling at the wife, no messing around with these fucked up hand screws at the bottom and shit leans one way or the other. It's like, it's the greatest invention. I can't recommend it enough to everybody. And then third, with everything going on with the coaching search, I really do think it's going to be cool this weekend and a real neat subplot of this game to see what happens with the offensive line. No Sam Cosmi. He's out of here. He's gone. Derek Kerstetter could be a bit hurt. We could be seeing 2 new offensive linemen get broken in this game, and it'll be our first look at any of the reserves, and that'll be an important peek into how 2021 could look, because there's going to be a bunch of these guys that just simply haven't played this year that we'll get to see a full game of at least one of these dudes as far as the depth along the offensive line, which should be good in a game that's going to be largely meaningless otherwise.
Alex, I love how at the end of you morphed your parting shot away, like, from the reality that I now have to move the podcast to the corral. But I love how you cleaned it up at the end with like total football offensive line conversation to make it pretend like I don't have to move the podcast to the corral.
I don't think it's a partisan topic to say that Adler sucks, but I could be wrong. Who knows?
That may be fair too. Like Adler may have crossed over into the territory of nonpartisan.
I think so.
But he may also not have. That we are having to use the he may have. We don't definitely know, which means
he should.
I'll just say for the record, this podcast brought to you by the Longhorn Corral. If you've never been there, don't start now. I feel like I inadvertently just advertised the fifth inner circle of hell. I hope you guys that are there enjoy it though. My final parting shot of the day, I just wanted to wish everyone good luck. Let's hope when we record this podcast in a week from today, the next Orange Bloods modcast, let's hope it's less like a funeral and a whole lot like a badass Christmas party with like white elephant gifts and stuff, like a fun one. Lots of booze, people on the tables, coworkers hooking up, although that never happens at Orange Bloods because just doesn't. But like, you know, one of those parties that would, let's hope for that next week. That sounds like a hell of a lot more fun than a funeral. Until next week, you guys know what that metaphor meant. Later.